Hello and welcome to The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Arts Salon, where we explore the culinary arts in and around the greater Lehigh Valley. I'm Mike Dravenstadt, your host for our gastronomic tour of our region's amazing food scene. And I'm here today with Bob Piano from Gallows Hill. It's a distillery that opened within the last year in the south side of Allentown, kind of close to Queen City Airport. So, Bob, welcome to The Inside Dish.
Well, thank you so much.
So I understand the name of your distillery, Gallows Hill, is a reference to the Salem witch trials, and that you're a descendant of the last person executed there?
That's correct.
So I have to know this family story. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, the witch trial started in the spring of 1692, and the execution started in June of 1692. They executed, wound up executing 19 people and pressed one to death, so that made a total of 20. The last person executed, not for any reason of his own, but only because the governor got to hear about the execution of the person pressed to death and put a moratorium on all executions after that point. That's how he became the last person executed.
And that gave you a nice, I guess, but the family history, a nice thematic element to weave into what you're doing at the distillery, yes?
Absolutely. It gave me both a place to pay tribute to my history, to the family, and to the trials themselves, and also to remind people about them and kind of bring them back to the present conscience.
And what sort of either evidence or communication might they see about that at your distillery?
If you walk into our distillery, on the left side of the distillery, we've got a memorial wall which lists all 25 people that lost their lives during the witch trials. Now, I said 20 were executed, but five actually died in jail waiting to go for trial. On the opposite wall, I have a lineage wall, so it shows exactly how to get from Samuel Wardwell, through all of my grandfathers, down to Mom, and then myself.
That's fascinating. So you have people focusing on the products that you have and also the history that you've brought there as well.
Correct. People find both sides of, I do tours in both the front of the house, which is all the history and the Salem Witch Trials events, and then I do the distillery tour in the back, which is how the spirits are made, and people are interested in both sides.
Well, this is a food show. Let's talk about the distilling then for a little bit.
Sure.
Talk a little bit about how you got into distilling and why you decided to make it a business.
I'd been a homebrewer in the Lehigh Valley for 25 years. I taught homebrewing at Northampton Community College. I was the president of the local homebrew club in 2009, 2010. So when it started time for me to look for something to do for myself, I looked at opening a brewery, but at the time, and that was still 5 years ago, I felt that the market was closing in on its maximum saturation. It was hard to find tap space or shelf space anywhere, so how was I going to sell the product? So I took a look at the craft distilling market and saw that it was about 5 or 10 years behind and saw that there was still some time to get in. Now, when I started this business plan, I was number four. I opened in March, and I wound up, I am number sixth in the Valley, so.
And that's, I think we said by the end of this year, there could be close to 20 breweries in the area.
Also correct, yes.
Right. So hopefully there's a little bit more runway for the distilling business.
Absolutely.
So tell me about some of your core offerings, some of the main products that you make that you might find anytime you'd come into your establishment.
Sure. When we started with, of course, white spirits, because that's what most distillers are going to start with. So we had a vodka, a rum, and a moonshine that we opened with. It was about a month into being open that I sent those in to the Great American International Spirits Competition up in Rochester, New York. We wound up meddling with all three products. We took a gold medal with our Tichibas Silver Rum, and then we took bronze medals with Soothsayer Vodka and another bronze with the Moonstone Rune, which is our moonshine.
So what type of flavor notes or articulations might people find in those particular spirits that you have that might be different than they experience if they had everyday rum off the shelf?
Sure.
What makes them special?
Well, our rum is pretty light in body. It's a Puerto Rican style rum, so lighter in body, lighter in flavor. But it's a nice, clean drinking spirit. I've got a lot of molasses in there, so people do get some rum notes. As a matter of fact, for the white spirit, we wound up having to charcoal filter it once. And that was more to make it balance better. Since nobody sips on a white rum, it made it a better balance by not standing proud of the fruit juice or sodas that you may blend with.
And then you do some specialty products as well, some things that are more exotic, perhaps?
Correct. We have a cream-based spirit, a liqueur, that is based on a vanilla chai recipe. So it's got vanilla, chocolate, green cardamom, cinnamon, nutmeg, allspice, ginger, and clove in it.
How do you come up with that?
It was just something different. I'm a fan of vanilla chai. So when it came time, I was seeing all these spirits. Well, you've got several different varieties, tequila rose, you've got rum chata, Bailey's, of course. I looked at those and went, it'd be really interesting to come up with a different flavor profile, something that's really unique. And I thought vanilla chai would be really unique. And it's been a great hit.
You see a lot of flavor experimentation in the craft brew industry and even in the homebrew industry with people putting different fruits in, different spices, a whole lot of different things. Did your experience as a homebrewer help inform what you're doing as a distiller?
Oh, on many levels. Not only the experimentation side of things, but keeping track and notes on presentation, how you put it together. Process. You know, just going through and the brewing process, because that is really the start of distilling. We're essentially a brewery that finishes up their product differently.
Well, in fact, let's talk a little bit about the process. I think a lot of people, if they've been to a brewery, have taken the tour and understand how beer might be brewed. Tell us about some of the science that goes into distilling spirits.
Well, for the most part, anything that's going to start with grain has to be mashed. And what the mashing is going to do is that you're adding enzymes to the starches that you're trying to process. And those enzymes at a specific temperature will start to break those starches down into sugars. As a distiller, brewer, winemaker, no matter what, we're looking for sugars because that's what yeast eat and put off alcohol and CO2. So the process is going to start in a mash tun, just same as it would in a brewery. The difference is normally a brewery, after it comes out of the mash tun with their sugar water, they're going to add hops to it, boil it for a bit of time to make those hops come out as either flavor profiles or bitterness to balance out the sweetness of the malt, something like that. We don't have to really worry about that because we're not worried about the finished product because it's not finished until we turn it into alcohol. So essentially we're making a beer without hops, and then we're running that through the still to separate the alcohol from the beer products.
And the separation, does that occur at a certain temperature where the alcohol goes one way or the water goes the other way? I mean, what's the science behind that?
The way the still works is the still has it's all about boiling points. Mm-hmm. So if you had a pot of boiling water and oil, or a pot of oil and water mixed together, you couldn't get that pot above 212 degrees until most of the water was gone. So that's the way the still works. It takes its lowest boiling point chemical and lifts that up. And it's not until you get through all the different boiling points that you want that you can cut it off and say, okay, we've got enough. So for our case, what we're going to do is we're going to start the distillation process up. And when we get down to about 80 proof, because we can take a measurement through a device called a Parrot using a hydrometer. So once we see that it's down to 80 proof, we're going to stop the run because we've taken all the good alcohols out. Now, we do have to process it again after that to refine it, because there are other items in there like acetone and methanol that really give it a harsh bite to it. And that's not what we want in our product. So we'll refine it again on a second still run. Again, watching more towards the front end of it to say, okay, we've got all of the acetone out. Now we're reaching the next boiling point. Gather up all the methanol. Now we've got the methanol out. Now it's time to collect the good ethanol.
So it's kind of the heart of an artist and the mind of a chemist at the same time.
At the same time, yes.
Have you been barreling or aging any of your spirits?
Yes. As a matter of fact, this morning I dumped 3 barrels of our aged moonshine. It's been sitting in 5-gallon barrels.
Dumped is a good word?
Dumped is a good, okay. Good word. Yes. I transferred it out of the barrels and into a collection vessel. This morning it had been in 5-gallon barrels for 3 months. And the ratio of wood to volume in a 5-gallon barrel is much greater than the 50-gallon barrels that big producers use. So you don't want to leave it in there for 2 years.
Back to geometry, surface area, right?
Correct.
How much is exposed to it, yes?
Exactly. So anything much more than 3 months and you're going to over-oak your spirit. And so at 3 months, I decided to pull them. I dumped them this morning. And what we're going to do now is we'll proof it down to 80 proof. And then we'll let it settle for a couple days. And then we'll bottle it up.
What level of knowledge do you find that your customers know about spirits when they come in? I mean, do you have people that are knowledgeable, kind of newbies to it, or kind of all over the board?
It's all over the board for sure. There are people that have toured other distilleries up and down the coast, so they're pretty well educated as to what the process is and really want to look at my distillery to see how I'm different. But there are also people that don't know really what a distillery does and walk in and say, okay, what kind of beers do you make? So it's all over the board.
Craft distilling, as we talked about, is hopefully still either in its infancy or in its ascendance, unlike craft beer. Where do you see the just the overall craft alcohol industry in the Valley? I mean, you've got some wineries, you've got beer, you've got distilleries on the way up. Do you think there's still a little bit more room for growth and experimentation?
I think there's still plenty of room. The nice thing about it is with beers, you've got 80-some-odd different styles, so there could be breweries that specialize in German beers versus, you know, artisan ales or IPAs, whatever the case may be. Spirits, you know, you've got spirit producers like that produce rums that are rum agricole style, not Puerto Rican style like I'm doing or Jamaican style like others are doing. You know, so there's still room to find your niche.
And we've talked to wineries here, and they said, well, their opportunities are somewhat limited to the types of grapes that they can grow here in the Lehigh Valley. So people always come in and ask, what's new? And a lot of times they're refining what they do every time, but they don't necessarily have new things. So they look at other opportunities to present different flavors and experiences. But you can do a little bit more experimentation with what you do.
Absolutely.
I've also been seeing more handcrafted tonics and bitters and other mixers in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. So I imagine if you enjoy spirits, that we're looking at flavors beyond what we're used to with mass-produced liquors and a bottle of Schweppes.
Absolutely. We just partnered up with Root Crafted, and they're here in Bethlehem, and they do cocktail mixers. It allows us to make an easier cocktail for our bartenders, something that doesn't require as much time in preparation. So that kind of helps us out a bit. They've also got some really interesting flavors. Some of their lemongrass stuff is truly a favorite of mine, with the gin especially.
Is there an opportunity to match some of the things you're doing with things that they might craft specifically for some of your spirits down the road, maybe?
Down the road, it's a definite possibility. That's why we kind of got started with them carrying their products in our distillery.
Bob, how can people find out more information about Gallows Hill?
Gallows Hill Spirits can be found on the web. It's www.gallowshillspirits.com. We're on Facebook, on Instagram as Gallows Hill Spirits.
Come on by.
Yeah, stop on in. I'll give you a tour, that's for sure.
Bob, thanks for joining us here at WDIY.
Thank you so much.
I'm Mike Dravenstadt, and this is The Inside Dish on Lehigh Valley Art Salon.